Welcome back to the Chris and Mark Show. This evening we are speaking to Oriol from the RSPB about my pigeons on my balcony.
We've had some questions in from people who've been listening over the last few weeks. This one's from Sam. Is it true that the mum and dad pigeons, if that's what you can call them, remain together for life?
Yeah, supposedly. Supposedly they mate for life, and they both actually take turns incubating the eggs. The females usually spend a bit more time on the eggs, but
okay.
Yeah, they both incubate them.
And another one from Richard. How many eggs a year would a pigeon usually lay? If you said they lay eggs all year round, potentially, or they breed all year round, is like, so Mark's had four in a couple of months. Is that like typical?
Yeah, so each time they sort of make a nest, it would normally be about two eggs, and they could do that up to four, five times a year. Some might just do it once a year. Yes.
Oh dear, Mark. It's going to be a long journey now.
And they do sometimes come back to the same nest, which is obviously what's happened with you, Mark. So you've created a very nice home for them there. And you should set up a sort of webcam, and you could do some commentary and win the fight for pigeons.
Oh, I need a better webcam now, sort of a nature cam. I suppose we're sort of a bit afraid to go outside because they do carry some diseases, don't they?
I think they can do, but it's very unlikely that you'd sort of get anything from a nest. But if you give them the space they need, so the main thing is really just giving them as little disturbance as possible, and okay. You know, that's really low risk to you.
Yeah.
People often have nests in sort of roofs and stuff, and it's very unlikely that you get sort of mites or diseases really sort of affecting you. But it's always just good to give them space.
Good to know, because we've sort of had myself and my girlfriend have said, no, we're not opening the balcony door. That we're sort of keeping our separation. But apparently they're also quite clever. They can recognise faces and keep a memory of sort of who's who.
I know that crows and magpies are really good at recognising faces. I think they're sort of a step of intelligence higher than pigeons. But
right.
You can train pigeons. So I think, yeah, they possibly do recognize certain people.
That's very interesting. Yeah, because the sort of baby pigeon that was there, I'd peer out and it sort of wasn't scared, or maybe it was, but yeah, even when it could fly, I sort of stared at it and it didn't sort of bolt or try and fly away really quickly. So I thought, oh, maybe it knows me. We also had a question from Oliver. He asks, what would a pigeon usually eat?
It's a really good question, and possibly why pigeons are so successful, in that they eat an awful lot of things. So you get sort of country pigeons that you find in the countryside that might eat grains, even farmland crops. And then sort of in cities, it's similar kind of things to young buds on trees, a lot of kind of scraps that they might find on the floor. But they like almost any bird food as well, they're pretty big fans of. So yeah, grains, seeds, nuts, some sort of mealworms. They really like the kind of grains and seeds that you get on agricultural areas. So they're quite a big fan of those kind of habitats as well.
So is it safe for me to leave stuff out for the baby pigeon when it sort of can eat?
So baby pigeons, for quite a long time, this is a little bit disgusting, I'll warn you now, baby pigeons are called squabs, or can be called squabs. And
great knowledge, I love that.
Yeah, they eat for quite a long time a sort of milky vomit that the parents produce. Generally, actually feeding young birds is really hard because it's quite a sort of niche liquid diet that they're on for quite some time. But you know, putting out it, especially in the heat, it's really good to put out some water for the adults to sort of bathe in and drink, and some food maybe a bit higher up for the adults that they can eat, and then produce that delightful milky liquid for the babies.
Nice.
So finally then, Mark has had these eggs, and what happens when the baby chicks become pigeons, fully grown, fly away? Can Mark clean the nest then, or is this like his life now, is just looking after pigeons on the balcony?
So it unfortunately is quite a tricky one. But legally you can't damage or destroy an active nest, so we would say sort of avoid it as much as you possibly can until you're certain that it's not active.
Okay.
The problem with pigeons, because they do nest all year round, is that it may become reactive. So if you really don't sort of want it to take up hold again, then you could maybe kind of make it a bit harder to access for a few months, and then when you're certain that it's not being used, then you can sort of
can break away. Well, I must be honest, the previous pigeon that was there left a mess of all the sticks. I mean, there was sort of a non-existent nest in the by the end of it. And then when the new eggs arrived, they'd rebuilt it all again, and it's sort of they've tidied it up. So I'm sort of quite impressed, really.
And it's great content for the radio show. So we're kind of hoping they come back. To be honest, it's a good bit of narrative to follow along.
Keep it there, and you'll get to see the different sort of stages and different qualities of pigeon nests.
Exciting.
Well, thank you, Oriol. And just from your perspective, how have things been over the last few crazy months at the RSPB? Like, obviously, you're a charity as well, like we are. Have you been busy, or are you allowed back into the offices? How much work can you do outside? How have things been?
So, it's been, you know, for everyone a really unique time, hasn't it? Unfortunately, our reserves had to close, obviously, for safety. And quite a few of our my colleagues were furloughed because a lot of their work relies on doing stuff outside. Some of that's returning to normal. A lot of our reserves are opening up. We're not in our offices yet, but we have seen some really, really amazing things happening on the kind of social media side of things. So I work mostly in communications, and the amount of interest that people have taken into bird watching and nature during lockdown has been really, really amazing. You know, it's really highlighting the kind of solace we've taken from nature during this time. And I think it's put more of a focus on how important our green spaces and our wildlife really is for all of us.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and we're running a sort of campaign at the moment, which is called My World Now. It's 100 ways that we're looking at getting the kind of we want people to share their experiences of how nature has helped them over the past few months. So just hearing you talk about, you know, the pigeons on your balcony, that's amazing. And we want to get more of these kind of get people sharing their experiences and more examples of how they've sought solace in nature, or how they've maybe taken into bird watching, or maybe they've got into, just keeping an eye on the wildlife in their garden, so that we can really use that to kind of highlight how important our nature is and to help us take action to protect that wildlife and nature as well.
And how can people do that if they want to? What are the best ways of getting in touch and seeing what you're up to?
So the best way would be to contact us on social media. So you could follow us on Twitter. That's at RSPB England. Or at Nature's Voice, or you can follow us on Facebook. That's the same, at RSPB England or at Nature's Voice, or you can get in contact with us via the website. So that's www.rspb.org.uk. And yeah, we wanna hear from you. You can Google My World Now, or use the hashtag My World Now. And yeah, we'd love to hear from everyone.
I'll have to get my picture shared on social media then, Chris.
Absolutely. Oriol from the RSPB, brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure. And if it's, who knows, this time next year, Mark may have another set of animals on his balcony. We might need more help then. But thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It's been great to talk to you.